speaking on this program is Brother Kevin T.
Do you believe in God? Now, I trust that in the sound of my voice this morning, everyone who is here would say, yes, I believe in God. It's interesting, though, that as we look at the world, there are a lot of people who do not believe in God. And still, also, there are some who do believe in God, but yet at the same time, they are not quick to respond with an answer that I believe in God. And some who do say even I believe in God, they don't know what it is that they believe about God, so therefore they're very silent in acknowledging God with reference to the way in which the Bible says that we must acknowledge and believe in God. It's not enough to just believe in God. In fact, in the book of James chapter 2 and verse 19, the Bible tells us explicitly that the demons believe and tremble. We must not only believe in God, but we must acknowledge God and we must obey God according to the standards that He tells us to do in the Scripture. To begin with, I want us to understand that we must acknowledge God as deity. The Bible tells us that the Godhead is comprised of three divine figures. When I speak with reference to the Godhead, God has reference to those who are represented in the Bible and in the world and in eternity as God. But when we speak about the Godhead, it speaks with reference to the governing body of God. And therefore, when we look at the governing body of God, there are three divine figures within the Godhead. Who are they? The Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. The Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, according to what the Bible teaches us, they are co-equal, co-substantial, and co-existence. When I think with reference to the fact of them being co-equal and co-substantial, my mind goes to what is said in Scripture in 1 John chapter 5 and verse 7 says that there are three that bear witness in heaven, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and these three are one. It's important to point out that in the religious world, some people look to God and the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and they say that they are all one individual or figure. But friends, the Bible does not teach that at all. In fact, the Bible teaches us very clearly and in an explicit fashion that indeed, while God is one, there are indeed three separate individuals or figures who make up God or the Godhead. Take into consideration what we find in Genesis chapter 1 and verse 26. When God is creating mankind, God says these words. He says, "Let us create man after our image, after our likeness." What is God saying here? The Hebrew term for God is Elohim. And Elohim in the context here is plural. And God is saying, let us, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, create man after our image, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, the image of God, the totality of the Godhead. So, therefore, as we think with reference to God, we need to understand that these three individuals who comprise the Godhead is that they are perfectly joined together in their work for mankind. But also, they are coexistent when it comes to their existence. You and I have a beginning and an end. We are brought into this world by natural childbirth. And the Bible identifies to us is that someday our life upon the face of this earth, it will end. But at the same time, God tells us that there is a soul within us that will continue to exist, that it will never go out of existence. It will always be there. Well, you see, with reference to God, God does not have a beginning or an end. As you and I will be eternal from this standpoint, from this point forward, God has always existed, and God will always exist. And therefore, when I say God has always existed, as I have already expressed, then we need to understand that the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit have all three always been in place. And it's important also, as we think with acknowledging God as deity, that there are some who deny the existence of God. We refer to these individuals as atheists. An atheist is a person or people who just out and out will come right out and say, there is no God. I don't believe that God exists. And they will oftentimes call you and me, who are believers, who are children of God, they will refer to us as foolish. I find that most interesting because God Himself has reference to these individuals. In Psalm 14 and verse 1, He says, the fool has said in his heart that there is no God. Why does God refer to these individuals as fools? Because they're foolish in the fact that they dismiss God, because there's all kinds of evidence from a biblical standpoint as well as from an external standpoint as to the way in which God has, as well as to the way in which God always will give explanation as to who He is and His existence. Friends, today I tell you that there is there is endless blessings associated with our acknowledging our God. By admitting that there is a God in heaven and that this God is sovereign and that this God is superior to any God that man might create or introduce to us in life. So we must acknowledge the deity of God. But also, I believe that it is important for us to acknowledge Him as Creator. Atheists are proponents of evolutionary theories. And not only do we find that atheists are, there are also those that I will refer to today as skeptics. These individuals do not believe that there is sufficient evidence to prove one way or the other that there is a God, and therefore they oftentimes, more times than not, will align themselves with the atheists who come out right out and say, I don't believe in God. Well, atheists have come up with all of these theories as to the way in which the world came into existence. How do they believe that the world started? They think that the world started with a Big Bang. I've had the opportunity to speak with some atheists throughout the world, and I've asked them, well, where did the Big Bang come from? And they say, well, we're still looking into that. And friends, I tell you that they can look into that all that they want to. Why? Because they are basing their belief out of a theory. And what is a theory? A theory is something that man has come up with, but there's no hardcore evidence to prove one way or the other if it is indeed a fact. And when it comes to evolution, I tell you that it is not fact. It is not in any sense a fact. Christians cannot, must never embrace theistic evolution. What is theistic evolution? Theistic evolution, to begin with, theos is God. And those who embrace theistic evolution are saying, I want to believe in God, but also at the same time want to believe in evolution. And there are some who call themselves Christians who will say, I want my cake and eat it too. I believe that God is indeed eternal. I believe that God is responsible for the creation of all things. But they will say that God is responsible for putting in place the process of evolution. And friends, that goes strictly against what the Bible teaches. The Bible does not uphold that at all. The Bible identifies as that God is responsible for the creation of all things, and that God created everything as it continues to be even unto this very day. For one thing, when it comes to those who buy into the theory of evolution or the various theories that are out there, they believe that man has evolved from an ape. And friends, if we evolved from ape, where are those who are half ape? Now, I will say from a fun point, there are some pretty strange looking people out there, me being one of them. But none of us resemble an ape from our appearance, but also from an intellectual standpoint. God has created man in the form of which He created us, and that is not to evolve into mankind, but rather is that we are humanity from the time in which God brought man into existence. Every aspect of the universe shows that there is a God in heaven, who is responsible for creating everything. And God expects man to acknowledge Him, to give Him the recognition that He is solely responsible for all things. And those who refuse to acknowledge God as Creator, they will stand before Him guilty of such someday. But also, as I stand before you today presenting God's message, I tell you that it is imperative for us to acknowledge God as the author. You see, the Bible is not just another book, but rather the Bible is the inspired, revealed message that God has communicated unto us. And as we think with reference to God's Word being inspired, it was not inspired the way in which Shakespeare or other authors were inspired. These individuals had an idea, and they came up with what it is that they wanted to write about. When we look at the authors of the Scripture, the men who are responsible for writing it down, or them working through an amanuensis or a scribe, and these men, these people did not come up with the words that we read in the Bible, but rather God used these men for the conveyance of His message. How did He do this? The Holy Spirit carried these men with the will of God. In fact, Peter shares with us in 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 19 and 20. He says, "For the Scripture is not of any private interpretation of man." In other words, it's not the innovation of man. But rather, he goes on to explain that holy men of God spake as they were moved or carried about by the Holy Spirit. Therefore, as we consider what Peter has to share with us, also connected with what the Apostle Paul wrote to the saints at Corinth in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 13 and verse 14, is that God took the mind of God, placed into the mind of man, and He used the abilities of mankind for the conveyance or complete message that He has given unto us through the Bible, His Word or final message to mankind. Yet at the same time, it's important for us to point out, is that liberals throughout every age, even unto this very day, have sought to destroy God's Word. In fact, as I stand before you today, I tell you that at least in one era of time, they sought to gather up all of the Bibles throughout the land and to stack them in a pile and to burn them. And friends, burn it as they may, God's Word has continued to exist throughout the ages. And His Word will always exist. Why? Because according to what we read in Matthew chapter 24, verses 35 and 36, heaven and earth will pass away, but My Word will endure forever. In fact, I find it also important to point out that while man has in the past and continues to try and destroy the Bible, it exists today in greater ways than what it has ever existed in time. Not only can we even go down to the Walmart and purchase a copy of the Bible, if you've got your smartphone, pretty good chance if you're a Christian, you also have an app on your phone that you can just push it and right there it is. The saved acknowledge God as the one who's responsible for these works. And friends, it is important for us not only to acknowledge God as the author of the Scripture, but also to honor Him as such by complying faithfully to the things that He says we must do. But then also, the Bible identifies to us is that we must acknowledge God as our provider. You see, God faithfully cares for all of His creation. The Bible says that He sends rain upon the just and upon the unjust. God says that not only does He care for mankind, but He also cares for the lilies of the field. He provides for the fowl of the air. Why does He do that? Because God created all of these things, even mankind. And if He's brought us into existence, friends, He's not going to leave us to fend solely upon ourselves. Now, I say all that to say that we do have a responsibility to go out and to earn our keep by the sweat of our brow. We live in a world today where a lot of people need to understand that. And that's the reason I stress that this morning. But yet at the same time, where do all those opportunities come from for us to for us to earn a living for our family. Why do we have the good health, the ability to go out? Why do we have the intellect to be able to think and reason and to be able to perform whatever task is necessary for us to provide for our families? Every blessing that man has in life is God-given. Have you stopped to think about that? And chances are that probably all of us have stopped to consider that at some point. But how often do we count our blessings? Sometimes we sing the song, "Count Your Many Blessings," and see what the Lord has done. And as Christians, I want to encourage us every single day to embrace that concept of counting our blessings and seeing what God has done, but also praying, "God, continue to bless me so that I can work also in Your kingdom to the glory and honor of Your name." Man's labors are possible only because of the gifts that God bestows upon us. And God does not want us being like people in this world. A lot of people in this world who are able to provide for the families, or especially when we look at individuals who have much in this world. From an earthly standpoint, you ask them, "Boy, what did you do to be able to be successful in life?" And they'll say, "Well, I'm an executive of this," or I was an entrepreneur and I've been able to build my business unto this." And yes, no doubt they put effort into it. But God is the one who's responsible for opening those doors of opportunity and blessing those lives. And friends, God does not want us to take credit for that within ourselves, but rather also to acknowledge Him for the blessings that we have in life. But also today, I tell you that it's important, most important, for us to acknowledge God as judge. You see, the Bible tells us that one of these days, the world that we have here is no longer going to exist. And therefore, we need to plan for life outside of this world. This world is going to come to an end. And in that day, God says that we will stand before Him in judgment. Every soul is accountable to God today, but someday we will be accountable for the life that we lived here in this world. And God's judgment of man will be fairly executed. When we stand before God, God's not going to look at one person different than the way in which He looked at another. He's going to look at every one of us as a soul that has been created after Him, and whether or not we have lived our lives in compliance to His Word, in compliance to His standards. And if we have not, friends, we will stand guilty before God of sin, and that sin will separate us eternally from Him. Acknowledging God as the judge is vital for our salvation. Why? Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 6 says, "Those who come to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him." In part, the Hebrews writer is acknowledging there that someday God will judge mankind. And our judgment, in part, will deal with where we stand with God, will deal in part with if we have acknowledged Him as the judge. And that will also then help to fashion our lives, is if we live faithful before Him, knowing that someday we will stand before Him as our judge. But then finally, we must acknowledge God as the Father. It is a blessing to know God. I think probably all would agree with that. To be able to know not only that God exists, but to be engaged in a relationship with God, knowing that our sins are forgiven, and that as long as we live faithful before God, He's not calling us to live perfect, but rather to strive for perfection in Christ, knowing that when we sin and fall short of the glory of God, that we turn to Him and we pray for His forgiveness, His continual cleansing through the blood of Christ, and as a result of that, we walk in the light as He is in the light. Scripture tells us that. and what a blessing this brings to our lives, or should. It should fill us up with great joy and excitement and even motivation to continue to march on in our love and relationship and goal to be able to make it to heaven someday. Friends, only children of God have this privilege. Only true New Testament Christians have this blessing of being able to be forgiven and know that, of being able to look beyond this life and to realize that someday we will be with God in heaven. Those who are outside of Christ, they are still in sin. Those who are outside of Christ, they cannot have the peace and joy that surpasses all understanding. John chapter 14 and verse 27. They cannot have the hope of knowing that when we stand before God in judgment, that we will not be held accountable for the sin that we committed here. Why? Because only the Christian's blood, only the Christian's sins are covered in the blood of Jesus Christ. Everyone else who has their sins on them before them as they stand in the presence of God, the Scripture says that they will be told, "Depart from me, you worker or workers of iniquity." Some even who thought that they were religious. They were religious, but they thought that they were religiously right. Jesus said, "I was saying to them, depart from me, you workers of iniquity. I never knew you." You say, "Well, Kevin, what are you saying?" Here's what God has to say about acknowledging Him as Father. Becoming a Christian and living the Christian life is imperative for us to be able to spend eternity in heaven with God. And those who acknowledge God as their Father today, accept Him according to the terms of salvation that He commands we must do in Christ. Those who acknowledge God to that level had the full assurance from God that He will acknowledge us in the end. If we do not acknowledge Him, and friends, He will not acknowledge us as His children in that day and time. And therefore, we must acknowledge God today in order to have that hope and assurance of eternal life. There are so many ways, even beyond what we have looked at this morning, that God expects us to know Him and to acknowledge Him. Today, I've laid a foundation upon which I want us to build as I extend the invitation. Do you believe in God? Do you believe that He is eternal in His existence? Do you believe that He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him? The Hebrews writer says that this is the foundation by which you must work off of. And if you believe that He is, and also do you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God? If you do, then in your love for God, you must make a confession that Christ is indeed the Son of the living God. You must submit yourself to be baptized into Christ for the forgiveness of sin, that you might be raised to walk in newness of life. If you're subject to the Lord's call in any way, please come as to